Welcome to Spirit in Action. My name is Mark Helpsmeet, and each week we bring you visits and conversations with people doing healing work for this world, hearing what they're doing and what inspires them and supports them in doing it. Welcome to Spirit in Action. Today we share the fourth installment of songs inspired by the Minnesota Uprising. Today's songs harvested from Minnesota, Washington State, the Bay Area of California, and again, Minnesota. So these songs will be witnessed and sung from both the inside and outside. You'll hear heartbreak and admiration, determination and inspiration, and love and power. Anne Reed and Chastity Brown both share songs related to what they experienced on the ground in the Twin Cities, while Emma's Revolution and Linda Allen see the beauty and power from a distance and are channeling it for work across the country. We had production help today from Andrew Jansen. There's also a full uncut version of this program with more nuance and stories available via northernspiritradio.org. We've got lots to share here, so we'll start out with music from an interview with Anne Reed in the Twin Cities. Anne, it's wonderful to see you again. Not been too long.
That's good to see you too, Mark.
And actually, since last time I saw you, amongst other things, you sent me a number of your recordings, a number of your CDs, mm-hmm. and I've been sharing the riches with people.
Good.
People who are fans of Northern Spirit Radio get to bolster their amount of knowledge of Anne Reed. You are kind of in ground zero for the Minnesota Uprising.
Yeah.
When did you first connect with the uprising? Did you see it happening around you? Maybe someone said, hey, we got neighbors, let's go get them. How did that hit you?
You couldn't really be in Minneapolis. I'm going back to George Floyd here to give people a reference, but I am about less than a mile from the Third Precinct building that burned and was the home of the training. I'm not that far from Powderhorn, and that's where they murdered Renee Good. And I'm not that far from Nicollet and 26th, which is where Alex Preddy was murdered. It was difficult to go through the neighborhood. And I think December was really maybe late November, but you started to know that people were gathering and you started to know what was going on and that 3,000 members of the Goon Squad were here. There are signs, there's still signs in our neighborhood and other neighborhoods. So when you would go out, you would see signs that say someone was abducted here. And they were very big and in bright colors, just so that people would know that somebody was abducted. We started donating to food drives. We have a very active state representative, Zainab Muhammad, who was incredible. And she did posts on social media every day, several times a day, just to say, this is your update. This is what's going on. This is what's happening. This is who needs your help. This is how you get to show other people how they can help. You know, it's still going on. It's not as present in the news, but it's still going on. We still have too many agents here. And we have people from Haven Watch who are an organization called Haven Watch. So who are, when people who have been wrongfully detained are finally let go and they come out of the Whipple building, they don't have anything. They have nothing. So they are making sure that they can give them, you know, a prepaid Visa card or a gas card or get them some clothes or something. Because for a while they were being let go in the winter. And they didn't have a coat and they didn't have anything. So members of Haven Watch have been pretty present in social media. And so we can know what they're doing too and support them.
I have a friend, a Quaker friend, who's part of the Twin Cities Friends meeting, who was very active in this. And I was getting together with, I had various other reasons to connect with her, in part because I was doing conscience objector training. She was kind of shy on sleep for quite a while there.
Yeah.
Because abductions at night is not an unusual thing. It's kind of very typical.
Not at all. You know, a neighbor of ours actually gave us whistles, but the people who were trained, and it was fortunate that they had people who were trained observers so that they knew what they were going to be facing, and they sent people out. But no, it happened. It was 24/7.
Well, let's talk about your song, Minneapolis 2026. Number one, this is a little bit departure from what you've done for the state fair.
You think?
Where did this come from? When did it come to you?
You know, I had done another song that was called Stay That Way. That was more about motivating people to get up off and participate. What I noticed during this whole time and being in the city and being a, I mean, I've lived here my whole adult life. And what I noticed about people who were gathering and these neighborhoods that got together to take care of one another was kind of this, you know, amidst all of the protesting and everything, was this very quiet determination that people had that was just saying, I'm going to get up and I'm going to do this again. And that takes a lot when you're under this kind of pressure and when you're under this kind of terror, really. But people had this quiet kind of, this is what I'm doing and this is what we're doing and we're going to take care of one another. And I kind of captured that. It felt to me like a very quiet, determined song to say, I'm not backing down from this. We know what we saw. I mean, we know what's going on. And I think it's just that kind of feeling that I had about everybody who is standing together.
I grew up, I turned 18 in 1972, so I was growing up during the Vietnam War.
Yeah, so you and I are about the same age.
Yeah, but I would say that my real entry into feeling connected to activism was in the early mid-70s. Holly Near's music especially called to me. Of course, she had her Vietnam-era music, but hers women's music. So Take Back the Night, that kind of thing was definitely a big thing.
Right.
And I would say that this song has some elements of that. I mean, it could be civil rights, it could be women's movement, but it's got that sense of we're together, linked arm in arms, marching side by side.
Yeah. And the sense of, you know, I think the thing that was amazing to a lot of people who were looking at this from the outside is that there wasn't an organization leading this. There wasn't a person leading this. It was everybody. And it was everybody just taking responsibility for being a decent person and being a respectful person and being a peaceful person. And I think that is kind of the essence of these songs that are a little quieter and just saying, we're going to be together in this.
How widely has it been going out? How have you been disseminating it?
You know, just the regular channels. I've played it and let people know that it's available. And I've been, usually, I put my downloads on my website for $1. And this one is $2 because I'm donating all the money to rent relief programs from this song. So any of the downloads that come in for this, that's where it's going, at least from my website. I know it's available on a lot of different sites.
And there certainly is a lot of things like the No Kings 3.0 Day and all of that, but I believe just on the 11th, it was a fundraiser to help people just in the same way that you're doing them by song.
Right.
You were part of that, and how many other people were there? I wasn't at it.
It was a concert at First Universalist Church here in Minneapolis. I was asked by Emma's Revolution, Pat Humphreys called me and asked if I wanted to be a part of the show. And we had 4 or 5 singers from the Singers Resistance also. It was just a wonderful gathering and the energy was so lovely. You know, people were just singing together. It was great. And I hadn't had the opportunity to play with Emma's Revolution. I'd met Pat, I think, one time before. But like a lot of musicians, it's just, you kind of don't cross paths that easily.
You're at your concert and they're at theirs. Well, anything else you want to intro our folks to this song, Minneapolis 2026? I'll have a link, of course, to the song to your website so that they can connect with it on NortonSpiritRadio.org.
I think people should just give it a listen.
Just take it as a testimony of the people who've done this and who are stepping forward, because I think the linked arms are still stepping forward. They're still growing.
Absolutely. And I think the example that St. Paul and in Minneapolis, we just said, what was different about it, I think, was just how everything was organized, just from being neighborhood to neighborhood, and also that it was peaceful. We were peaceful anyway. And we weren't going to be dissolving into rioting or anything else. That wasn't what we were going to do.
It's a blessing to the whole world, what you've done, what you're going to be doing, the movement that's still happening, and that people are not going to back down. They're not going to turn around. And they've got Ann Reed cheering for them as they do that.
That's right. That's right.
So, folks, Ann Reed's song, Minneapolis 2026, join in the movement wherever you are, because it hasn't ended in Minneapolis. They tried to go on to weaker places, places maybe that don't have the deep sense of community and peacefully linked arms that we have, just my neighbors, just 90 miles down the road from me. Here's Ann Reed.
Not gonna back down, not gonna turn around, not gonna back down. down. We know what we saw. We saw what they did. They did take the lives of innocence and then light and light. We're not gonna back down. Not gonna turn around. Not gonna back down. Not gonna turn around. Welcome the stranger. Stranger now the friend. Friends now in danger. Blow the whistle, stand with them. We're not gonna back down. Not gonna turn around. Not gonna back down. Not gonna turn around. We've been through the fire. The fire now keeps us warm. Warm as we go. Arm and it's 12 below. We're not gonna back down. Not gonna turn around. Not gonna back down. Not gonna turn around. This is our home. This is our home. This is our home. Dark will yield to light. Light up our hearts. Stand together, that's how we fight. We're not gonna back down. Not gonna turn around. Not gonna back down. Not gonna turn around.
Reed shared her song, Minnesota 2026, with us as part of our fourth installment of songs related to the Minnesota Uprising. And we'll turn right around and head over to Bellingham, Washington, for a song with Linda Allen. Wonderful to have you here, Linda. So good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
It's not been really that long. I had you on September 2025. I did one of my Song of the Soul interviews with you. This is Spirit in Action, because activism and folk singing kind of goes together, doesn't it?
Oh, it does indeed.
Did you get started in music through activism?
Absolutely. I think that when I was in college and started being exposed to the music of the 60s, and it very much shaped my politics and my worldview, because I came from a family that was fairly conservative. And so when I started discovering these songs and the history behind the songs and the way they told a story, and I thought, I have been missing all of this. At that point, it was the civil rights movement. Soon it was the Vietnam War. And I just really was drawn to the music of that time. And pretty soon, it wasn't that I wanted to be a great and popular musician. It was just, this was my contribution. I could write songs. I could do what I could in my neighborhood, within my circles, to change some hearts and minds. And if I could do that, I thought that's a pretty good path to stick to. And so all these years later, I have pretty much stuck to that and just keep finding different ways to use music in service to the community, I guess, is a way to say that. You know, no dreams of fame and fortune. I don't think I ever went there. But just let me do this work that I've been given to do and do it as well as I can do it. That's what I'm still doing.
Have you done a fair amount of singing at protests?
Through the years, very much so. This year, I haven't been going into the rallies as a singer, but I show up and I've seen all these incredible young singers up on stage and gathering the crowds and educating people as music does so well. And I've been so impressed. Some of the indivisible, some of the singing resistance, and just watching what they do, I've just been really impressed. I've participated in certainly some fundraisers here in our area. There's so much going on right now, Mark. I have not seen really since the Vietnam War era, when every rally brought in lots of music. Over the last decades, I have not seen music showing up at the rallies, a speaker, one speaker after another. And now the music, the poets, the dance, it's all being integrated into the marches, into the rallies. And I am so glad to see that. It just reaches a different part of your brain and your heart. So it just thrills me to see that it's happening. And I had to kind of let go of feeling that I needed to be there. I needed to lead all the singing. I had, you know, I just have let go of that. Nope, there's so many brilliant young singers coming up. And I hear one song after another that's just so well done and being used in so many ways we never had access to or even thought about back in the days of Vietnam. So now I'm proud to be part of a whole movement.
There was a lot of good music around Vietnam, but I'd say even more so, it's remembered around civil rights. And I think that's not surprising that it comes up now as such a major force in the Minnesota uprising and elsewhere. It's because what people are demonstrating about now is community. We're just building, nurturing, helping each other in community. When you're doing anti-war, it's absolutely something I'm passionate about. When you're climate activism, I'm absolutely passionate about that. But it's not the same as building community. So I think there's a reason that particularly what happened for me when I saw what was going on in my neighbors. I'm just 75 minutes drive from here is St. Paul and another 15 minutes, Minneapolis. So these are my neighbors. These are my friends. I have all kinds of connections, including family right there. But it's about love and community building. And of course, that's why your song came up that way.
Yes, it did. That song took a long time to write. I mean, I was so moved immediately when I saw what the activists were doing in Minneapolis. This is something new. I hadn't seen that level of organizing. And I wanted to write something right away. And it took months to find my way into the story. My husband's a wonderful editor. And so to work with him, to work with some others, and just to finally reach the point of, okay, I think it's finished. And then to get the tune, which surprised me, it was going to be a very different kind of tune, kind of minor, and then it came out more like an Irish lilt. You know? And I loved that. I loved being surprised. I felt like it, by the time I finished, I thought, this is a useful song. I'd already sent the words out, but I didn't have the melody down. And I finally decided to go into the studio, go in with Jeff, and make a decent enough recording so that others could learn if they would find it useful. That's the story of that. But there was so many stories, so many songs about what was happening in Minneapolis that I've run across. And they're all really good.
As you're singing this, I had this sense of listening to Melvina Reynolds. Did you ever actually meet her in person?
She became a friend. I lived in Berkeley. She was a neighbor. She would come to our house. I would go to her house. And I'll tell you my most important memory from that time. And I would go with her to different events. But in that time, I wrote a really sappy love song for her. It was like my appreciation, you know, as a huge fan of hers and for all she'd done. And I wrote this sappy song, and she just kind of looked at me. She was not having it.
Really?
And she just looked at me and she said, "You've got to learn to put an edge on it." And from that moment, I did. Her head is in my head all the time. Does this have an edge on it? You know? So yeah, she was a great influence as this young 20-something living in Berkeley, having given up a teaching job and wondering what in the heck was I doing. She was a wonderful influence and became a friend.
And before we listen to Love and Power, is ICE continuing to make bad things happen around where you are?
Yeah, they're here. It's not as obvious or as prevalent, but somebody put a sign in front of the county courthouse downtown that said, ICE operates here, ICE is here, or something like that. And it's been sort of underground, so it's not as obvious, but yeah. I ran into, I'm pretty sure, a couple, I was on the road because I have this work with hospice as a therapeutic musician. And I was on the road going out in the county and there were two motorcyclists and I thought, oh my God, those are ICE agents. They only say police, but I thought, oh, they're here. You know, they are here and it feels like they are everywhere. I know that when this community becomes aware of it, they will rally. They do rally. Can I read one favorite thing? Because this was someone who I'd sent the song out to on my mailing list, and he came back. And I just want to read this shortly. It was from the email I just shared. His name is Ray Penn. He said, "Your song reminded me of a book by Paul Tillich called Love, Power, and Justice. It is a short book, but so deep it takes an hour of thinking after every few pages. I will give you the really, really short version. Love, power, and justice are ontologically related. That is, they are interwoven in the texture of existence itself. Each must balance out the other. Love without power is mere sentimentality. Power without justice is cruelty. Justice without love is simply fairness." So thank you, Paul Tillich, and thank you, Ray Penn.
And I'll have links to Linda Allen's website. It's lindasongs.com. The link, of course, is on northernspiritradio.org. This song, again, is called Love and Power. The refrain you'll hear is, "When love meets power, the power of love increases." Sing along. This is the kind of song we can all sing together, and it only helps that power of love increase when we do that. Again, Linda Allen is over in Washington State, northwestern corner. Bellingham is home. Get her music. Go to lindasongs.com and find Love and Power. Thanks so much, Linda, for making the music, for carrying on this, and for channeling some of the wonderful blessings of Melvina Reynolds to us all.
Thank you, Mark. And thanks for what you do. It's so important.
And a shout out to Jeff Morgan with his guitar on this one. Here is Love and Power.
Are a quiet people, we seldom make a fuss. But when the agents came to town, we knew it was up to us. And when they took our neighbor and the man who runs the store, our whispered conversation soon erupted in a roar. Blow your whistles, hit the streets, where your friends and allies meet. Where love meets power, love meets power. When love meets power, the power of love increases. Love will overcome. 4,000 strangers came to town with face masks and with guns. King Donald's private army just to see his will was done. And if we looked away for what would be in store, they'd build another prison camp, they'd start another war. Blow your whistles, hit the streets, where your friends and allies meet. When love meets power, love meets power. When love meets power, the power of love increases. Love will overcome. We gathered in the neighborhoods to shelter those afraid. We walked the children to the schools, brought food and often prayed. We gathered to blow whistles, to march and to protest. We roared for good and pretty, for their lives and for their deaths. Blow your whistles, hit the streets, where your friends and allies meet. When love meets power, love meets power. When love meets power, the power of love increases. Love will overcome. So when they come to your town, see what we have done. Keep your hand upon your whistles, bring your songs and bring your drums. Bring your love and bring your courage. You walk on holy ground, and those bastards will go running. They will leave your town. Blow your whistles, hit the streets, where your friends and allies meet. When love meets power, love meets power. When love meets power, the power of love increases. Love will overcome.
That was Love and Power, written by Linda Allen and performed alongside with the wonderful Jeff Morgan. And this is all part of our fourth show of songs about and inspired by the Minnesota Uprising. We'll have a couple more musical guests to share their songs of the inspirational work done by the people of the Twin Cities. But first, I'll remind you that this is Spirit in Action, and our website is northernspiritradio.org. where we've got all kinds of links to our guests and to the 38 or so stations across the U.S. carrying our shows. If you have a community radio station in your town, but they're not yet carrying Spirit in Action or Song of the Soul, connect us up and maybe we can enliven your airwaves. Do support the great work of your local community radio, and please help Northern Spirit Radio survive and thrive with your input on our site and with a donation. We do this from love, but your donations are needed to make us sustainable. Our country needs alternative media more than ever right now, and that happens when we work together. Onward now to Sandy O and Pat Humphreys of Emma's Revolution for more Minnesota Uprising music. Sandy and Pat, thank you so much for joining me amidst your very busy time for Spirit in Action.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, we're delighted to be with you. Thank you so much.
So I know you're near the Chicago area. You were in Minnesota. You've been over to Michigan, Illinois. And are you coming up to Madison?
We are. Yes. That's this coming Sunday, April 26th.
9 days ago, from the time we're talking, 9 days ago, you were in Minneapolis for a fundraiser there, a benefit concert for the rent fund for mutual aid support. How did you get connected with that one? Was that through the Unitarian Universalists, through local activists, other musicians? You have so many connections. I was just trying to figure out how you connected there.
I mean, the first part of it is that when things go on, like what happened in Minneapolis in January, that's usually when we get there to the place and we add our voices and we bring our songs and we do whatever needs to be done in the streets. But we couldn't come in January. So when we knew that we had these shows already booked here in the Midwest, we figured, well, that's pretty close to Minneapolis, so we're going to get there. And we contacted the UU Church to see if it would be helpful to them if we came to do a benefit concert. We didn't want to add to the work that those people have already been carrying, but we wanted to see if they thought it would be helpful for them and something that they would be willing to put on. And they really ran with it.
Yeah, they said, yeah, that would be great. So we just added it onto the front of the tour that we already had scheduled.
And they have a contact that they are raising funds for that's in support of immigrant families who need rent support and mutual aid. And we actually, it was an extraordinarily successful concert. We raised almost $10,000.
You said that you usually would be part of this when it's going on. And obviously, ICE still rears their ugly heads in the aftermath. But were you in another state already taking care of other people at that point?
We were actually at a conference down in New Orleans. And it's just that, you know, when stuff goes down in different places, we offer, you know, we say, if there's something that we can do to help, and if there's been a call out, you know, to the larger community, hey, we need your support here, then we try to get there if we can. So we were at a conference in New Orleans, and I've been having some knee problems, so I knew that I wasn't going to be able to stand for long hours at a conference without some kind of support. So I was actually on crutches.
Oh, goodness.
So it was challenging enough to be at a conference on crutches. And when everything was happening in Minneapolis, I just thought, I can't go to Minneapolis in the snow and ice and be on crutches.
We would not be helping.
I would not be an asset. I would be a liability. So we waited until my knee was healed enough that I could get someplace.
But we also know that activism kind of keeps you young because there's so much to keep going for. And so many times we're working with activists who are just, you know, decades older than us, who've been doing this forever. We know that that kind of commitment is something that will help us work through any physical changes that we have to deal with.
Yeah, Sandy and I have been performing for 25 years together now. And it's a good long run. But
yeah,
it was interesting. We were talking to some folks the other night. Maybe it was in Lansing. And that one person said, yeah, I'm a little old to be in the streets. And I was like, you know, I've seen people decades older than you are. Demonstrating. I mean, it's amazing the range in age of folks that are out supporting the people of Minneapolis, you know, out there doing whatever they can do to make things better.
Yeah, you know, every time there's one of those large demonstration days, you know, No Kings or whatever. And of course, there's a May Day general strike coming up on May 1st. But every time there's coverage of those demonstrations that are happening all around the country, there are people demonstrating at their senior living facilities.
That's amazing.
You know, they're still coming out in their chairs or with their walkers or just, you know, as they are with their signs and saying, we protest and we're not going to hide away.
You wrote the song, No Ice. When did you actually write that?
I wrote it right after things were happening, after things started happening in Minneapolis and after the killings of Renee Good and Alex Preddy. And Keith Porter had already been killed, who's an African-American man, and his killing did not get the kind of attention that the killing of white U.S. citizens. Keith Porter is a U.S. citizen. So part of what I wanted to do in this song is to capture both the grief and the outrage about what was happening in Minneapolis, and also, well, I guess three things, honoring those people who had been killed, especially names that we hadn't heard from, communities that we hadn't been paying attention to, communities of color, undocumented people, immigrants who had been taken. And then the last piece that's in the song that's woven into it is the incredible resilience and community power that Minneapolis showed up with and showed the whole world.
The other thing that's in the song, let's say it up front, I've loved your music since I first knew it. And Pat, I actually met you well before. You were at an FGC gathering way back whenever that was, 90s, I don't remember. So you've been doing this music, but I think of you as folkish.
We're folkish.
Well, and you've got wide variety. You've got great abilities that span musical genres. But on this one, who is doing that blazing?
On the electric guitar?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Not us. My musical influences definitely include pop and rock, possibly more than Pat's, but not necessarily. But I love a great band, and we have a great band with us on that. So let me go through who's there. So the electric guitar player, a guy named Tom Finch. These are all Bay Area musicians. We live in the Bay Area and outside of the Bay Area. So Tom Finch on electric guitar. Tammy Hall on the beautiful E3 organ part that you can hear in there. It's really touching. We love it. Bass player is Dan Feisley, who also engineered, recorded the session. And then the drummer is David Rokich. Drummer happens to be my partner, so I won't brag about him, but he's awesome.
I can brag about him. He is awesome.
He's awesome. Well, I think particularly Tom Finch, he imprinted that really heavy with his guitar.
I'm glad to hear it. I'll tell him.
And of course, I love the way your lyrics and your voices meld together and go in parts. This is not a minor composition. This feels like something power that should make a difference in our country. Hopefully people hear it and carry it forward. That kind of energy just blasting forward. So I'm loving that. But No Ice is a good message, not just a good message. It's a great message, much needed in our time. And I'm so thankful that you're squeezing me in during your peregrinations around the Midwest. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We're really happy. And I wanted to, we're really happy to be here. We appreciate that. We're going to have to quote you on some of those amazing things you said about that song. Thank you. And I did want to shout out the fact that we are near to the gravesite of Emma Goldman, who we're named for. And in fact, we're going to be going today to be there. You know, we're named for her because of that phrase that came down in history, even though she didn't say those exact words, but she had that spirit. If I can't dance, I don't want to be part of your revolution. So putting the band on that song, it's not, you know, it's an intense topic, but we need to have strength. We need to have that power and even that kind of motion to keep going, because the strength that Minneapolis showed was amazing and still is amazing. Yeah. So thanks. Let me add that.
And the fact they could do it with love. And that's the thing that's different. It's not, we've seen plenty of demonstrations which give someone like the current president the opportunity to say, oh, no, they're evil, mean people hurting, killing, destroying, right? And that's not what you saw in Minneapolis. So when we say No Ice, we're saying it because they don't fit with what America is and should be.
That's right. And while we were there, we had some of the members of Singing Resistance join us at our concert, and also Ann Reed, and I know you got in touch with her about her extraordinary song about Minneapolis. She's a Minneapolis-based singer-songwriter. And then we had some time to meet up with one of the leaders of Singing Resistance, a young woman named Serena Carpenter. And the thing that's amazing about them, and I think folks have heard of that movement, is that they did just what you said. They were singing to the ICE agents, "It's okay to change your mind, show us your courage, leave this behind." They were not angry. And those were the last words of Renee Good. "I'm not mad at you, dude."
Exactly. Thank you both, Pat. Again, Pat and Sandy, I love you both. Thank you so much. emmasrevolution.com is their website. This song is No Ice. We'll see you both soon.
Take care.
Thank you.
No. Dying, lying in our city, our
somebody's lover, a builder, a teacher, a restaurant worker, a student, a mom, a human, a neighbor.
Don't you just love that powerful music from Emma's Revolution, supercharged with help from Tom Finch, Tammy Hall, Don Feisley, and David Rokeach to play No Ice for us. We've got one more guest to share today, and this song is different as it puts us right in the seat next to Nicole Good and perhaps the most personal of today's songs related to the Minnesota Uprising. Our fourth and final guest for today is Chastity Brown, joining us from the Twin Cities. Chastity, it's so great to have you here today for Spirit in Action.
Thank you, Mark. Glad to be here.
Tell me a little bit more about your connection with Minneapolis. You're in South Minneapolis. The Twin Cities include several town cities, burgs. So are you native to that area?
I'm not. I was born in New Hampshire, but raised in Tennessee. And I moved to Minneapolis almost 20 years ago. I was living in Knoxville, Tennessee at the time. Came up here on a whim with a friend of mine. She didn't like it and moved away within a year. And I literally had never been, I don't even know, maybe I had been to Chicago as a teenager, but I'd never been to the Midwest. Like, I literally came here having just looked at pictures online. Just found it to be quite fascinating and musically just so different, like the influences of Minneapolis versus the influences of Knoxville or East and Middle Tennessee, like naturally have such a long history of a certain kind of music. And each year I love this city more.
That's wonderful to hear. Not everyone feels at home in the Midwest, of course. Your friend, as you mentioned, didn't find it. And some people hate the winter, but I imagine you're not outside two-thirds of the day during the winter, I'm guessing.
Well, since I've been here, like, I've had dogs all throughout. So that really kind of makes you participate in all seasons. Because I wouldn't otherwise. I kind of joke that I look like a Oompa Loompa in the wintertime. Like, I have no shame in wearing thermal breeches head to toe, another layer head to toe, and then another layer head to toe. Like, and I just like waddle around and it's like 72 degrees on the inside. But when I first moved here, I had like hand-me-down rain boots and a 1970s winter coat. And I thought, oh, that will be fine. And clearly, that's not the deal. But it's taken me a while to, like, adjust. And I will say, like, it took me a good 3.5 years to make friends here.
Really? That's what I wanted to ask you. Yeah.
Yeah, I was really lonely. And I got a job at a organic food co-op. Because you talked about a second ago before we started recording, growing up in a small town. And I grew up in a small town, and Minneapolis just seemed like one of the biggest cities I'd ever seen when I first came here. And so I thought like down south, go 30 minutes outside of the city, you're in the country. You're not in a suburb. And of course, Nashville has changed quite a bit, or Knoxville in those terms. But when I chose to live in Minnetonka, I just thought it was a small little town outside of the big city. And clearly it's not. But that's where I lived the first year. Kind of became friends with some of my coworkers at the co-op. But it was probably 6 or 7 months of working there before I was invited to hang out.
Oh, wow.
I'll never forget, like, after hanging out, like, I think we went to karaoke and had some beers or something, and I was getting ready to go, and I went to go hug one of them, and she just, like, arms straight to her side and went stiff.
This is Scandinavians.
Yeah, and it's, like, down south, like, we're quite tactile. You embrace your friends. You almost cuddle with your friends while you're hanging out. That's something that I've joked about a lot, of encountering that kind of Scandinavian, Norwegian. I have found friends that do hug, thank goodness. But yeah, so that was my first couple years of being here.
Well, the song that you've written about Renee Good and in her aftermath, right? It's so close to the heart. Is that heart that it's close to what you've experienced there in Minneapolis area? For all I know, you knew Renee and her wife. Where does that heart feeling come from? Is that something you see around you in community, or is it just something that's Chastity Brownish?
I did not know Renee or her wife, but South Minneapolis, and I imagine like North or Northeast, we are community here. And, you know, Powderhorn, which is some blocks away, just even historically since the 70s has been like, you know, a very queer magnet or even kind of naturalist or hippies. So there is a way in which you know your neighbors here. The thing about that juxtaposed to, I was saying in an interview just how on my block alone, there's like 17 kids under the age 11 and they run this block. They run this block. And my wife and I do not have children. But we're on a text thread with all the adults, and we all keep an eye on these kids. You know, I might text a mom and say, your five-year-old is on the roof. Is that okay? And of course it's not, because it's a five-year-old. Like, how did he get up there? You know, like, we're in touch with each other. And 4.5 blocks away is where George Floyd was murdered. And so that is kind of mind-blowing and surreal for that to be a part of also this wonderfulness. I say that because the loss of Renee's life, the loss of Alex's life, the things that Minneapolis has experienced since 2020 is kind of bonkers and sideways, that we would find ourselves as not even in the top 10 of the largest cities in America. And however, we found ourselves yet again at a global focus. The choices that you see Renee make on that day were things that a lot of us had been going to non-compliance trainings and were learning about, like, how to be a witness when ICE is coming after your neighbor. And so her and her wife's actions were not inflammatory. They were not out of this baseline agreement of being a witness and being present. The heart of the song, I can't take credit for, because the moment it started coming, two things happened. One is that the first draft was in part what is now heard to be the year of 26, but the other part was commentary like shaming those in ICE. I realized that there should be just a singular story, and the singular story is these two women. Other people can tell other kinds of stories and perspectives and have the more like anthemic ruckus of how dare you or things like Bruce Springsteen. But as a woman married to a woman, it just felt that there just needed to be an honoring of what it is to have been sitting next to your wife when she was murdered. I mean, I was hyperventilating. I was crying so hard while this was coming out because it just was like, I couldn't not go there. I couldn't not allow my mind to see from that perspective. I hope the gravity and the humility is being translated in how I'm talking, because unlike any other song that I've written, there is a large component in which I don't feel that I can take full credit as a songwriter, because it felt like an obligation. It felt like a responsibility to write this song.
Along with that, on Bandcamp, where the song is available, people can download it, purchase it. The revenue for that is also going to help the community there, the Minnesota-based organizations that help Minnesotans. So even as you're pouring out your tears through this song, those are tears that are aimed at healing. That's the way I see it. And I don't know, you put it in your own words. I don't mean to put words in your mouth.
Yeah. The story of survival often yields movement, even with blisters and sore bones and muscles. There's still needs in the community. So many people were afraid to leave their house for so long that just basic things like rent or food, or even just like there's a number of parents who are volunteering just to walk students to the bus. Kids, like, you know, we saw like they had no boundary in terms of the harm that they also caused to children. And so in the spirit of Renee and her wife Becca's efforts, and in all of our spirit for folks to be able to support the community in a way of purchasing the song, and then that money goes to feed people and help with housing.
Well, you've got the powerful vocals, you've got the powerful piano, and to have the cello alongside you, I think, really plays the heartstrings in the way that we can sit in the vehicle right next to Renee with you crying in this one. And I appreciate you so much doing that and trying to turn it into healing through the money that you're taking in. I appreciate that so much.
Thank you, Mark.
So again, folks, we've been speaking with Chasti Brown. Her song is Year of 26. I've got links on northernspiritradio.org to both ChastityBrownMusic.com, her website, and to her Bandcamp site. Come via northernspiritradio.org, find those. And I'm going to have you back soon for Song of the Soul, because there's so much more depth I want to go to with you. Thank you so much, Chastity.
Thank you, Mark.
Here's Year of 26, Chastity Brown.
It's an echo across time, a story that fills pages, Shakespeare for the year of 26. When the love of your life goes missing before your eyes, but there's heat still in the fabric where they say, hardest thing I've done is meet the eyes of our son. We're trying to say the words, I'm so sorry. I never thought I'd lose you today. Never thought I'd lose you today. In the silence I hear, whisper your name. Never thought I'd lose you today. Path downtown where you lay. I witnessed your last breath, the tragedy of your death. Though we snuggled in the sheets that very morning, you had kissed my sleepy eyes, said I'll make coffee, then we'll drive over a few streets to protect our neighbors. I never thought I'd lose you today. Never thought I'd lose you today. In the silence I whisper your name. Never thought I'd lose you today.
thought I'd lose you today. In the silence I whisper your name. Never thought I'd lose you today. Never thought I'd lose. Never thought I'd lose.
I'm sure Chastity Brown touched all of us deeply with that song, Year of 26. And that's all we have for you today, though I think we'll be back one more time with part 5 of Songs of the Minnesota Uprising. Our hope is that these songs and the sharing from our guests have inspired and prepared you to do the same kind of good work moving forward, wherever you're listening to us from. Remember to join us next week for Spirit in Action. The theme music for this program is Turning of the World, performed by Sarah Thompson. Check out all things Spirit in Action on northernspiritradio.org. Guests, links, stations, and a place for your feedback, suggestions, and support. Thanks for listening. I'm Mark Helpsmeet, and I hope you find deep roots to support you to grow steadily toward the light. This is Spirit in Action.
With every voice, with every song, and our lives will feel the echo.